Our Heavenly Father, we praise you and adore you because you love us so much that you'd rather die than live without us. And Jesus, you did die and you rose again and you ascended and you are in heaven at this moment in time, interceding for us, praying for us on a daily basis. We praise you and we love you for your loving kindness towards us. Greetings, saints. Our reading is 1 Corinthians 4, verse 18 to 21, message. I know there are some among you who are so full of themselves they never listen to anyone, let alone me. They don't think I'll ever show up in person, but I'll be there sooner than you think, God willing, and then we'll see if they're full of anything but hot air. God's way is not a matter of mere talk, it's an empowered life. So how should I prepare to come to you? As a severe disciplinarian who makes you walk the line? Or as a good friend and counselor who wants to share heart to heart with you? You decide. There are a couple of issues in the scripture, one of them being God's will, as stated in James 4, verse 13 to 17, NET. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into this or that town and spend a year there and do business and make a profit. You do not know about tomorrow. What is your life like? For you are a puff of smoke that appears for a short time and then vanishes. You ought to say instead, if the Lord is willing, then we will live and do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows what is good to do and does not do it is guilty of sin. So we can see that we do not make plans according to our own will, but we make plans according to God's will because we have a totally surrendered life. This is true of Jesus. It was what the salvation plan hinged on. Is Jesus' willingness to go to the cross in Luke 22:42 NLT. Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet, I want your will to be done, not mine. So we see here that Jesus was willing to go through with the plan of salvation, even though his flesh was screaming out at the pain and suffering that was pending. His spirit would have been screaming out against the separation from God. But his flesh would definitely have been screaming out against the pending pain and suffering and rejection that he was about to go through. Another issue in this scripture is discipline. We see in Psalm 23:4 NLT. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. So the rod and the staff might be seen as items of discipline, but in reality they are there to protect us and to comfort us. The shepherd can use that rod and that staff to fight off predators, and the staff is also used with that hook at the end to pull the lamb closer to him when it's in hard to reach places, and so to rescue the lamb that might have wandered off. Again, we're encouraged in Proverbs 3:11. My child, don't reject the Lord's discipline, and don't be upset when he corrects you. For the Lord corrects those he loves, just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights. This is echoed in Hebrews 12:7-11. As you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as his own children. Who ever heard of a child who is never disciplined by its father? If God doesn't discipline you as he does all of his children, it means you are illegitimate and are not really his children at all. Since we respected our earthly fathers who disciplined us, shouldn't we submit even more to the discipline of the Father of our spirits and live forever? For our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years, doing the best they knew how. But God's discipline is always good for us, so that we might share in his holiness. No discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. It's painful, but afterward there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. The discipline is needed in some instances, and the following verse in the following chapter, 1 Corinthians 5:1, says this. I can hardly believe the report about the sexual immorality going on among you, something that even pagans don't do. I am told that a man in your church is living in sin with his stepmother. And so they are advised to show discipline towards this man. And it works because then in 2 Corinthians 2:5-8 says, I am not overstating it when I say that the man who caused all the trouble hurt all of you more than he hurt me. Most of you opposed him, and that was punishment enough. Now, however, it is time to forgive and comfort him, otherwise he may be overcome by discouragement. So I urge you now to reaffirm your love for him. And so after repentance, the comfort and the love is reiterated so that they are once again in fellowship and one big spiritual happy family. In John 3:17 it says, God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him, that's through Jesus. And Jesus said the same thing in Luke 19, verse 8 to 10, NKJV. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. What was lost? Well, communion and fellowship with God was lost in the Garden of Eden. We are encouraged to reach out to this lost and hurting world in Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Now this is motivation to handle the light tribulations of this world and press on in service of God's kingdom. And one of my favorite scriptures gives us our job description. Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20, NET. Then Jesus came up and said to them, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Well, it is one of my favorite scriptures, but I just want to say it again because the Amplified version puts it so nicely. Matthew 28, 18 to 20, Amplified. Jesus came up and said to them, All authority, that all power of absolute rule, in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Help the people to learn of me, believe in me, and obey my words, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, remaining with you perpetually, regardless of circumstance and on every occasion, even to the end of the age. And so I believe we are, in the days of John the Baptist, preparing the way for Jesus to return for his victorious bride. So, shine your light.